Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth. Praise the Lord. His ways are not our ways. Amen. Good to see you here today. Happy Memorial Weekend to you. It's a Decoration Day, still called some places. That started out, still called that in a lot of places. It's where we honor those that have gone before. It began with soldiers, and we turned it into a party just to honor everybody. Just go to the graveyard and eat. They used to have preachers at the graveyard, everything else. So those that do that, I'll say God bless them. And I'd rather be in church today, just to be honest, than I would out there at 92 degrees at the graveyard. And so I hope this will be a blessing to you today. This is the Lord has put this in prayer upon my heart. And I pray it'll help you. I'm praying that our children get all filled up over there in North Carolina and come back and shame us in our worship. I pray they come back on fire for the cause of Christ. Just excited about being saved and filled up with the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad that it's not just that He fills us over and over again? We are leaky vessels. You know that? We're not watertight. We're not Spirit-tight. No, the Spirit always indwells us that are saved. But we need to be filled. Paul reminds us of that. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. That's where I'm at today. First Thessalonians chapter number 1, four verses. Earliest of Paul's letters, right here. When you found 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1, shout amen for me. Amen. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He wants us to have. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Watch this. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Father, I love you. And I praise you for this day, Lord. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. I thank you that you have inclined your ear unto us. I'm praying that you'd preach me today, God, to your glory and your honor. I pray Christ be exalted in this message. And Lord, we thank you for choosing us. And I pray that you'd bless this word. There would be no confusion. God, I am a simple-minded man. I pray you help me in simplicity. Preach this word today. Fill my mouth, guard my tongue, and preach me inside the bounds of this book. Touch our people that aren't here today, those traveling, those away on vacation, and wherever they're at, God, I'm praying the eyes and the hands of the Lord be upon them. I'm praying you give us an unction to preach with today and give us an invitation with power. And I praise you for it. In the name of the King, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought, evidence of election. You're hearing a lot about an election. It's not even going to take place till next year. There's a lot of talk about that. Everyone wants to be on the ballot. Yeah, I think everybody that can walk is wanting to put their hat in the ring. Everybody wants to be voted for. That I think people just like to have their name in the news. But I'm talking about a different kind of election today, somewhat, some the same. Put people on the ballot, folks will make a choice. They'll choose that one that is on the ballot. When they step into that booth, they'll say, I want this one or I prefer that one. I'm just going to be honest. I don't think in America in the last 40 years we've had much to choose from. I think I'd like to go somewhere and get me a born-again farmer that prays 7 days a week and don't ever miss church, and move him into the White House and say, fix this mess. But unless you cleared both halls of Congress, you'd be wasting your time. So we'd have to clear that too. Here's the reality. I'm telling you, there's none of us sitting in a pew today that's much better than any of them. We all got our problems. Hey, but it's good to be one of the elect today. I don't know much, but I know this. I know I'm saved to the uttermost. I know if I drop dead right now that I'm going into heaven, praise God, and forever shall I be with the Lord. This word election scares some people to death, especially in the Free Will Baptist Church. They think you're going to start preaching on predestination. My word, there's only a certain number. No, that's not what I'm saying at all today. Election in this particular verse. Now, Paul's preaching. He's writing this letter to the Thessalonians. And at this time, there's a large number of people living in this particular town. In this place today, they say there's a population of about 300,000. I thought of how the population in Paul's day and the issues that they were dealing with in Paul's day, how similar they are to the issues that we're dealing with today. Sin, sexual situations, rampant, try to put philosophy and psychology in, and it was all about what men think and what men do. That's humanism, by the way, when man tries to elevate himself into the place of God. By the way, you'll never get there. When he shall appear, I shall be like him. What does that mean? That means I'll be in a glorified body like he's in right now. But I'll never be God. He's God and there is none else. He said, I'm God and I change not. But ain't it good to be one of his elect today? Paul's preaching to these people in this place. They've got a few issues. They've heard some stories and rumors. So Paul's first letter, he writes to the Thessalonians. If you read in Acts, you're going to find this. Paul's only been in Thessalonica for about 3 Sabbaths. We think maybe a full month or just less than a month. But in a month's time, these people have learned greatly and grown spiritually mature in a very short period of time. They have grown up. So Paul is addressing major issues to the church of Thessalonica. And these people are eating it up. They understand what he's saying. They have here this. Election means simply this. Don't be afraid. Don't run off when people say, are you one of the elect? Say, I sure am. It means this. It means divine selection or chosen of God. That's what elect means. Divine, praise God. Isn't that good? Chosen of God. Divine selection or chosen of God. Hey, you know what? The world wouldn't choose you. No. The world says you got to look a certain way. You got to act a certain way. They tell our young girls that they got to starve themselves to death in order to be attractive unto men. That's not true. Don't starve yourself to death. That's foolishness. All things are good if received with thanksgiving. Praise God. We ought to eat. Hey, listen, they tell young men they're not this if they're not GQ. Somebody signed me up for that perverted magazine. They started coming to my house. I thought, is this a joke? Somebody's telling the preacher they need to dress a little different than he is today. Look here, this is the best I'm going to do. If you sent me that magazine, you wasted your money. Because here's what it does. It promotes homosexuality. You know what I do when I get GQ? I put it right in the trash bin. That's where it goes. Listen, so if you're the one that sent me that, you wasted your dollars. This is all I'm going to do. White shirt, black breeches, and a funky tie. Hey, that's all I'm going to do. And cowboy boots. Glory to God. Hey, that's it. But here's what GQ says to the young men. You got to look a certain way. You got to do a certain thing. If you don't do that, you don't fit in. Hey, listen. God chose us. He made us different. And he chose you just like you are. Just like you are. Paul's writing this letter to these to try to help them. Now, I wish I had thought of this. This is not an original thought. As a matter of fact, Brother Wiersbe was quoting someone else when I read it in his book. But he didn't give credit to the man. Or if he did, I didn't see it. But here's what he said. Some have a problem with election. They think if you're elected, if you claim to be the elect, you're going over into Israel. Now, he has an election corporately with Israel. He hasn't forgot Israel. He has not. That king of the Jews is still going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem one day. That has not come to pass, according to Luke, when he said he'd give him the throne of his father David. He didn't sit on no throne the first time he's here. He hung on a cross. But he's coming back. And when he does, he's going to sit on his throne. Bless the name of God. But before he comes back, he's going to appear. I'll get into that in just a moment. Here's what he said. As concerning election, we go to Revelation 13 and 8, and God the Father elected me before the foundation of the world. Why? Because there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I am therefore, in the eyes of God, elected, chosen before the foundation of the world. That's concerning God the Father. Now God the Son. Hey, listen, you go to God the Son. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There's a problem between God and myself. It was the sin I was in. God had a plan from the foundation that I could be elected. Then he had a well glory. Then he had a son, praise God, that said, I can take away the sin of the world. So then I was chosen in the Son. But one day, according to John 6 and 44, the Holy Ghost came by where I was. And no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Then I'm going to raise him up at the last day. Glory to God. So what happened? God the Father from the foundation said, selected, divinely chosen. God the Son said, I'll take away the sin of the world. You can qualify. You were born a sinner. And God the Holy Ghost came by where I was and chose me one day. Hallelujah. And then, therefore, I am elected. Chosen, divinely selected, chosen of God. What's the difference in the lost man and the saved man? They have not yielded themselves to the drawing of the Holy Ghost. Simple and plain. So the Father doesn't have any problem with election. The Son doesn't have any problem with election. The Holy Ghost doesn't have any problem with election. I'm going to tell you, I don't have any problem with election. I'm in there, praise God. God chose me. What did he tell the disciples in 15 and 16 of John? He said, you've not chosen me. What did he say, Brother Junior? I've chosen you. I dare you to call some millionaire ball team, say, would you choose me? Here's what they'd ask you. Who are you? Call Hollyweird out there and tell them you want to star in one of their multi-billion dollar motion pictures today and say, hey, choose me. They'd say, no. Nobody knows you. I could say, you're wrong about that. There's somebody that knows me. And he makes all the difference today. I'm glad the Lord knows me. Isn't it good to be one of the elect? He gives us three things in verse number 3. He gives us faith, love, and hope. Somebody nearly spilled the beans on this in Sunday school this morning. Thanks to Paul. That love, or Danny, maybe his brother Danny, somebody, Sunday school. The charity or love, the greatest of these. So I want you to think about this for a minute. Here's evidence of election. Number one is this. Paul's giving it in verse number 3. He says this, faith. What is that? Learning. Learning. There's things right now Lily Kate doesn't know. There's things right now my grandson Colin doesn't know. But Pa's trying to teach him. Somebody has to teach you. You don't start out, voila, I know all about this faith, therefore I am. It does not work that way. That wooing of the Holy Spirit has to come. It is a process, my good friend. Listen, I read this somewhere that it takes over 13 times for someone to hear the word, statistically, before they're born again. Now I know some got saved first time they ever heard it, but not statistically. For the most part, I think it's over 13 times they have to hear it before they surrender. This thing starts. That seed is sown. Praise God, it's rare that the seed sown and comes to fruition, brings fruit to fruition in the same day. It's learning. Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, ye shall find rest for your soul." That's how the rest comes. We come, we get to that place. Listen, the burden is heavy. This world is heavy. Things is rough. And you know what? He puts his yoke upon us and we begin to learn of him. It's a learning thing. We can't have, listen, the work of faith, we have to learn about faith to have faith. You know, here's the scripture on that. Listen, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What do we do when we hear? We learn. That's how we comprehend. We learn things by the hearing. Now some learn better by the showing. But if you're going, listen, the Word of God comes by hearing the Word of God. We hear that word, and therefore we learn. We learn, therefore we can have faith. You've got to have the hearing of the Word of God. Brother Wade said something in the prayer coming out of the prayer room this morning that's very profound. He said the Holy Ghost can take one word, just a word, and do more than you can do with a multitude of words. That's exactly right. What is that? That's the Word of God. That's when somebody's preaching. And the Holy Ghost takes that, and the Holy Ghost illuminates. He lights us up, Brother Larry, and then He brings it. It is spiritually discerned, and He brings that Word to understanding, and then we see ourselves. We understand how we are before God. We're either in or we're out. We're either real or we're fake. And whether you're real or fake, nobody's perfect. But the motive is this. The motive, Brother Danny, is this. We are striving for perfection. We try. It's our goal. We're leaning toward that man. And we're going to seek that in one of these days. Praise God. I'm going to be that when he comes. Or when he calls me out, one or the other. Are you learning? Evidence of election is this, learning. That's how it can be a work of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We learn that. That's why, listen to me, Mom and Dad, that's why Sunday school is so vitally important to your children. In the law, he said, speak it in your house. So all the responsibility, Brother James, doesn't lie upon the Sunday school teacher or the preacher or anyone, but it lies upon the mom and dad, and they need to be hearing about the Word of God in the house or the home of the family. Or listen, if they think it's only good for an hour a week on Sunday morning, you know what they're going to lean toward? An hour a week on Sunday morning. If anyone under the sound of my voice, internet-wise or wherever, if they understand it all, I'd sure like to sit down and talk to them. He said to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We do that by the study of the Word of God. So then, come in here on Memorial weekend, nobody here for the preacher to beat us up. We need to learn. If here's the evidence of being elected, the learning, faith in that blessed book. And I'm going out on a limb here and not cut it off. It's not denomination. Listen, it's not denominational boundaries. It is not this. And it's not preachers. It's certainly not singing groups. That's appealing to the ear. You can sing something completely unscriptural and people will get with it if it's got a good melody and and words that rhyme in time. They'll just eat it up. Learning the Word of God. You know what happens when you're confronted then with something that is not scriptural? You'll know it. You'll say, that is not scriptural. That's not what the Bible says. Learning. Number two, we see this. What do we see? We see a work of faith. Then we see a labor of love. We see them laboring. It takes a lot of things. It takes a lot of people to do a lot of things. And the more things you try to do, the more people it's going to take to do it. Paul said this about, I don't have Jimmy Pleasant's job, nor does he have mine. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was spot on in this fact that we're all different parts. There's a diversity of gifts. But if we're not laboring in love, I'm telling you, it won't bring nothing to effect. It will fall short and flat. It won't produce what God would have it produce. Paul said it like this in Philippians, I think it's 2 and 12. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Peter said, make your calling and your election sure. Make sure that's what God's wanting for you. Make sure that's it. And if you're not doing it, then it's between you and God. And here's what I pray. If they don't want the blessing, Lord, give it to me. I want it. You help me do. You help me do what I can do. I can't do what some men can do. I'm not a Robert Jeffries. I can't speak he has an unlimited vocabulary. And he can say more in 15 minutes than I can say in 2 days. He just has that ability. Robert Morgan's that way. Dr. Morgan. He can just say it. He says things and you just go, wow. I stumble around and try to say a few things. And I used to get more people to come to revivals when I was jumping benches. I've decided they didn't care what I said. They just wanted to see what I was going to do. They didn't care enough about what I said or they'd still be coming. Probably the lowest attended revival I preached this past week. They just wasn't a lot of people come. And nothing. I'd have preached the same if it had been 500 as I did to that 25 that was there. But look here, what's wrong? And you know what? Wasn't upset about it, David. You know why? Because it's what God said to do. That's my labor. But it's got to be in love. I love them people. They are good folks. I've been preaching for them on Memorial Week now, leading up to that for about 5 or 6 years in a row. Maybe even, I don't know how long it's been. But I love them people. You know what it is? It's a labor of love. Why did Jay not come and do that? Well, that wasn't his job. It was mine. So, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the labor. Whatsoever man take upon his heart to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If we treated the work of the Lord like we did our daily jobs, a lot of us would be fired. Laboring for love. Paul said, here's what you've done. Now them all around you has not been doing it, but you have. And there's a multitude of people inside these walls that do it. You do it week after week, time after time. No one knows what you do, but I know. But it don't matter if Mike knows or not. The Lord knows. Listen. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've showed forth toward His name. He's not going to forget it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding in the work of the Lord, whatever that thing is. And sometimes, work's not always easy. But a job well done is always rewarding. I read this story of a fella, and I haven't used this in a long time, so this is going to be brand new to some of you. He was a habitual drunkard. Lived in and out of the mission. And he'd come in. He wouldn't eat for days. He'd be on a stupor. And then he'd run out of money to buy liquor, and he'd find himself over at the mission. He'd come in, eat a little meat and take some soup and get a little strength back and do a little work for somebody, make a little money and go and spend every bit of it on hooch. Next thing you know, he's out there drunk in the gutter again. He'd drink till he ran out of money. I'm talking living in filth and just in a bad way. But one day, he come in and he's out of money, he's out of booze, and he's sobered up because he hadn't had anything to drink or eat in a while. And he sat down on the back row, and the preacher got up, preached about the love of God, and old Joe got gloriously saved. They said if there's ever been a transformation made in a man from his lifestyle, it was in Joe. Said Joe would do anything. He said, I want to work in the mission. Just let me work. You don't have to pay me if you just let me stay here and eat. They said, well, we'll pay you a little bit. He said, you don't have to. He said, if you do, I'll give it away. He didn't have anything but clothes. They got him some new clothes. They put him to work. He'd cook. He'd clean. No matter how bad a mess a drunk come in there or someone out of their mind and made in that facility, Joe was the first one with a mop and a bucket on the scene to clean it up. And said the whole time he's doing it, he's loving on them. He'd say, let me tell you, there's a better way. He's cleaning up the mess and talking to them about the Lord and loving on them the whole time. He's not degrading them. He's not putting them down. Why? Because Joe's been there. One night in a service, the preacher got up to preach. A man came running from the back. He slid under the altar and he knelt down and he is yelling, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe. The preacher heard what he was saying, concerned about it, and knelt down beside him and said, hey, don't you mean make me like Jesus? He said, does he know Joe? Oh, yeah. He knows Joe. He elected Joe. Glory to God. He elected Joe before Joe was born. He said, I'm going to make you away, Joe. You don't have to stay in that, Joe. One night the Holy Ghost is going to woo you, and it'll be up to you now, Joe. You can either accept it, I've set before you, life and death, blessing and curse. You can have it if you want it. I'm still a whosoever will guy in a world of elected, praise God. Here he is, and old Joe took it, and people saw it. And you know what he done? He labored out of love. He didn't have to. They didn't have to tell him his church time. Joe was at the meeting. Why? He loved the Lord. He knew where he had been. He knew where he was. I'm not going to try to pick on him today. But he's here. I've seen him in there. Greg Whitey, it's good to see you in church today. We talked a little bit before the service. He said, I won't say it's easy, but I'll say this, after I surrendered, it's better. Praise God. How about that, I'm saying? Isn't that good? Not only see them learning and laboring, but look here what we do. In the hope, we see them looking. There's a big difference in the coming of Christ and the appearing. You can do the research yourself. Go through the Scripture. Look it up. I'm looking in Titus 2 and 4. I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to appear. He is going to appear. And when He does, I'm going with Him. But number two, it's not only we're looking for the blessed hope, but here's what Hebrews 9 and 27 to 28 says this. It's appointed unto man to die, and after this the judgment. For unto them that look for Him, but unto, not everyone else, but unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time. What, Judge? Without sin unto salvation. I have been saved, I am saved, I am being saved, and I shall be saved. He shall appear the second time without sin. He became sin for us the first time who knew no sin. He's not going to do it the second time. Praise God, He's going to appear unto us. And listen, my salvation, done deal, there, here I am. He appears, I'm gone. Why? Elected. Evidence of that. Evidence of the election. Well, I learned that I was lost. You'll never be saved until you figure out you're lost. And this candy-coated Christianity today that's preaching this stuff, you're okay, I'm okay, I'm just going to tell you. When homosexuals are running for offices and saying, my God, I pray to Him and He hears me just like He does you, not according to the Bible. Not according to the Bible. Now, I don't know what book you're using, but the book I use, that says nay. But they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, you can pray to God all day long, but unless you've been born again, you're not going to make heaven your home according to the Scripture. So we have the evidence of this election. Is this first the learning, and then the learning, it'll turn into this. It'll turn into the labor. You do things for people you love. They're watching right now via Facebook, no doubt, my family. You know where my wife's at today? She's with the grandbaby. You know what Pa is? Extremely jealous. She didn't have to go. And she's not just sitting there holding the child. Their house is a wreck. They moved all the stuff in from Birmingham, Alabama, and they're working to put it in order. And you know how much they're going to pay her? Zero. If they offered, she'd take no money. You know why she's doing it? Because she loves them. You know why? Because she loves them more than herself. That's the way God was. And He is. He loves us more than Himself. Isn't that good? We labor, and because of our laboring, it puts us to doing this. Brother Travis, then we begin to look. We're looking for Him. Why? Because we want to be with you. You know what this is? Memorial Day weekend. What are they doing? They're at the graveyard. What are they doing? Decorating graves of dead people. Why? Because they miss them. That's why. They're wanting to honor them. Show, I not forgot you. I'm going to put a flower here. Show that. And I miss you. And I wish you was here. But better than that, I wish I was there. And I'm like Ronnie White, Brother Danny's brother. Ronnie said this after the passing of his daughter. He said, I'm just hoping the Lord come get us all. This one at a time stuff's killing me. The one at a time stuff. I'm telling you, Thursday around here, everything was going pretty smooth until Tildy and Wink come up to that coffin. And when they brought little Tildy up there to look on the face of her son, who had left this world, and she fell apart and fell back in a chair, and they caught her in the wheelchair, and she couldn't hardly get her breath. It took my breath. My heart broke, melted in me. I thought the suffering of that mama is nearly inconsolable. How bad that is. You think she ain't looking for His appearing? Why is that, lastly, today? Because we're not only looking, but my good friend, we're leaving. You find chapter 4 in this blessed writ, this letter that Paul's writing to them. Here's what he says. verse 13, I think it is, of chapter 4. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. There's some that's hopeless today at funerals. That was not the Lewis family the other day. Now, some of them came by, and they don't have that hope, but I'm telling you, God's working on them. I'm expecting them to crawl in here just any time. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them which are asleep in Jesus shall God bring with Him. Now, how's that going to happen? That's because the Spirit's with the Lord. The soul, Spirit is alive. The soul is with the Lord. And when He comes back, they're coming with Him. And I'll show you something in just a moment on that. So, are they up there in a utopia and they don't know anything? Oh, no, Randy. No, they know. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that cometh unto repentance according to Jesus. Somebody up there knows what's going on. I don't know if they ring a bell, put your name on the list, or what they do. I don't understand how they know, but somebody knows something, Brother Danny. For these things we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or exceed or go before, prevent them which are asleep in Jesus. No. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. I'm going to stop right there for just a second. You go to Numbers chapter 10, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find two silver trumpets. Now one of the... I feel like dancing. One of them trumpets was to blow, and it was to gather them together. When they blew this one trumpet, they knew the sound of that trumpet, and it was to gather them together. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to use my trumpet today. You know what silver is? It's a picture of redemption. You know what I'm doing? I'm blowing my little horn. And I'm saying, come. He's elected you from the foundation of the world. And if you'll yield to the draw of the Holy Spirit, praise God, He'll put you in the list. There it is. I'm trying to grab, to get them together. Bring them in. Circle them around. Praise God. Circle the wagons and get ready. But you know what the other trumpet was? It was the trumpet of the journey. When they heard that trumpet go, you know when that sounded? You know what was going to happen, Brother Newt? They was hitting the road. And the Lord, for the voice of, with the trump of God, hey listen, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort ye one another with these words. What does that mean? That means the plane's going to load up, Paul, and we're flying out of here. That's what it means. I got my ticket. My boarding pass. I've told this story 100 times, probably. I'm glad my wife's watching via internet. She can turn it off if she can. Back in the 70s, when salesmen went and visited local country stores or general stores, Brother Ron, you remember these days, they brought in a great big book. And they'd bring that book in, they'd throw it up on the counter, and the store owner would go through that book, and he'd check this and check that, and I need some of this and I need some of that, and he would give that book back to the guy, and the guy would get home, and he'd contact his people, and the truck would show up one day, and all them things... There they'd be. That's what L.P. Shank's done around here for years. The truck to the store. You know the store. You probably help unload and stock the shelves. So there's this man who done this for a living. His wife was a devout Christian. He was not. He was a good salesman. He was a good daddy. He just didn't love the Lord. And so his boy went one night to a revival service and got gloriously saved. The little boy was gloriously saved. He come home. They're sitting at the supper table. Here's what he says. Mama, if Jesus comes today, is Daddy going with us? What a question. Because the answer is going to make Daddy mad. She ignored him. Passed the butter. Typical child. Mama! Mama! If Daddy comes today, if Jesus comes today, is Daddy going with us? Here's what she said. No. Honey, he's not. And the little boy starts crying. The dad's infuriated. He said, what is that church teaching you? Told the boy, said, go to your room. You're through with supper. Told his wife, clean up the dishes. We're done here. What did you do? You're not going back to that church anymore. Mama's crying, cleaning up the dishes. Daddy's sitting in the living room, bad. Little boy's in the bedroom crying. Next day, he's on the road. Throws his big book in the car, drives down to his first stop. It's about 30 miles from the house. Pulls in there, walks in, throws his book on the counter. And the guy said, hey, let me see your book. I got some stuff. And he said, I'm not feeling real good. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know. I'll come back next week. He said, I need some stuff now. He said, I'm telling you, I don't feel good. I'm getting in the car. Takes his big book, gets in the car. He starts down the road, and here's what he hears. Mama, if Jesus comes today, is Daddy going with us? He turns up the radio, rolls down the window, try to drown out the noise, and Brother Branson, all he can hear is Mama. And he sees that little boy crying. This thing going on and on. He goes to another store. He stops. He goes in and he puts his book on the thing. The guy don't even get to him. He said, hey, I'll come back next week. I'm feeling bad. I got to go. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know. I'm sick. Do you know that's what conviction does? It make you mad. It make you sick. But I got some good news. When you're getting good and mad and good and sick, you're getting in a good shape to be saved. If you're not good and mad and good and sick and everything's good and there ain't no issues and you're as good as everybody else and this church stuff's out of the window, Mike McCoy don't know how to preach and all this stuff ain't right and it's all just a bunch of hullabaloo and you're carrying on like this, you know what? You ain't never going to be saved like that. But when you're getting good and mad and good and sick, you're headed in the right direction. The guy turns his car around. He pulls in the driveway. It's in the afternoon. He walks in the house. His wife said, what's wrong? Because usually he's gone 2 or 3 days. What's wrong with you? He said, I'm sick. Leave me alone. Throws his big book on the kitchen table, walks into the bedroom, slams the door, and he goes to bed. Goes to bed. His wife's there thinking, oh, he's about to die. He don't ever do this. She's been in there for about an hour, and the door opens. He comes back out the hallway. She said, honey, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know what's wrong with you. I feel real bad. She said, you want me to call a doctor? He said, no, call that preacher. Call who? Call the preacher. I believe I need to talk to him. Why? What's wrong with you? I don't know what's wrong. All I can think about is what that boy said. If Jesus comes today, is Daddy going with us? And I hear your voice over and over saying, no, honey, he's not going to go because he ain't saved. Call that preacher. I need to talk to somebody. She called the preacher. Preacher come over. Man's waiting in the living room. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm lost. He said, no doubt. He said, I must be lost. I feel awful. He said, I need to know that if Jesus comes today, I'm going with my family. They knelt down and he gave, read him the scripture. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, are you a sinner? He said, I'm sick. I must be a sinner. I'm a sinner. Would you like to be saved? I need to be saved. What? He said, you believe the Lord will save you? Is that what that book says? That's what he says. Is that book true? That book's true. That's what I need to do. Calls on the Lord, gets gloriously saved. Wakes up, gets up. He said, Lord, I feel better. I feel better. The preacher says, hey, we need to baptize you. Is that what I need to do? Need to be baptized. Need to show everybody what's happened to you. Hey, little boy called it advertise. Ain't that good? I need to be baptized. I'll do whatever I need to do. That's what you need to do. You need to be baptized. Hey, when can we do that? We can do it tonight. It's Wednesday. We can do this tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's do it tonight. Said that night. They'd done a little different. I thought about doing this here. It worked great. They turn all the lights down except the baptistry light. And said when the little boy saw his daddy get in the water, said he broke free from his mama.
and come running up to the front of the church. And they was trying to catch him, set him down. Said his daddy said, "No, lay sinner, I want him to see this." Said they baptized old daddy and he stood up. Said the little boy started clapping his hands and jumping. And said, "Mommy, if Jesus comes tonight, daddy's going with us." You know why? The evidence of election. On the list. Are you on there? From the foundation of the world, God paved the way that you could be. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago and died for you. The Holy Spirit says today, come. 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 Come now. Come on, Randall, get us a song. You don't even have to wait for the invitation. You know what the Bible? Now is the appointed time. Now. Not tomorrow, because you don't have next week. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You could come now. You don't have to wait until next week. Let's stand to our feet. If you have something you need to pray about, you ought to come today.
Page 385 at the bottom.
You ought to come today. You ought to come today.
Page 385 at the bottom.
You ought to come today. You ought to come today.
Page 385 at the bottom.
You ought to come today. You ought to come today.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.